In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thy will be done. God's will is simple, that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. His will is perfectly done in heaven, for everyone in heaven believed in Jesus as their Savior. But we pray that his will may also be done among us here on this earth. The leper prayed according to God's will. Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. He leaves it entirely up to God. So even if God wants to leave him in his leprosy for the rest of his life, thy will be done. And so the leper prays against himself, his wants, his desires, his needs, his dreams, and throws himself entirely into the lap of Christ so that Christ may do with him whatever he sees fit. When we pray according to God's will, we are praying against ourselves, our wants, our needs, our desires, our dreams, and tossing ourselves entirely in the lap of Christ, so that he may do whatever he sees fit with us. When he sends us prosperity and blessing, often our hearts, it's very easy for our hearts to be plucked out of this world, or plucked out of God's kingdom and tied to this world. He knows that if he gives us everything that we desire, want, and ask for, our faith may falter and fail. And so he has promised to give you this, food and clothing. And anything more he will give to you as his fatherly discretion sees. When he does provide you with family and friends, house and home, life, happiness, prosperity, retirement, blessings, and all other things, keep your composure toward God. And be willing at a moment's notice to relinquish every single one of those things, including your family. For at any moment, God may take it from you. And then he will ask you, do you love me more than these? Or if he sends to you illness, sickness, disease, hospitalization, sadness, loneliness, or any other adversity, keep your composure toward God, for he is the resurrection, and he alone is your life. If enduring that adversity is pleasing toward God, then be glad and be willing to endure it all to the very end of your life. For God's will is not that you have peace and prosperity or happiness. God's will is not that you retire and live a comfortable, easy life here, but that you live by faith in your Savior. So you cannot question what he does. You cannot question his love or accuse him of failing to be kind to you. You cannot call whatever he sends into your life evil, for God is only good. He is perfect, and so everything he sends to you is good. It trains you in godliness. It conforms you to the image and likeness of Christ. It pulls your earth-tied eyes out of this world and places them squarely in heaven. For when life is going not the way that you want, especially when you suffer, it is only then that you truly look towards something more. This is not pleasant because it means that you don't get what you want and your dreams may not come to fruition, but you must deny your will, pick up your cross and follow Christ. You must deny what you think life should be and how your life should go and even the plans that you have laid out for yourself. And wholly, completely, entirely submit to the will of God. Easy to say. Easy for the mouth to pray, thy will be done. Very hard to actually practice it. For as soon as you peer down into the depths of your heart, you will quickly realize that you have not entirely submitted to the will of God. When he places a cross on our backs, we become restless and we think of any way we can get that cross off of our back. We are quick to blame the devil for this evil, for we see any adversity in our life, anything that disrupts my way of life, as bad and must be gone. And now you see how earth-tied our eyes really are. We forget that God is in complete control of our lives. He is not chasing Satan around, somehow fixing his messes. But he uses Satan according to his purpose, as he did with Job, and perhaps as he does in your life as well. Thy will be done. God's will is done when he rips our eyes and ears, our body and soul and mind out of this world and plants them squarely on him and his word. So we keep our composure toward God, whether he leads us through a bed of thorns or roses. We keep our composure because his will is being done. When his will is done, God is glorified. So when you pray, thy will be done, when you pray according to God's will, you are asking God to glorify his name in your life and through you. So when you pray, thy will be done, you are not so much asking for healing or for prosperity or for earthly blessings, but you are asking him to draw you ever closer to him. And in your eyes, he will do this, or he can do this, by freeing you from your leprosy or pain or sadness. But ultimately, we are praying against ourselves. We are praying that he would give us a childlike trust that whatever we go through is for our good. Easy to say, hard to put into practice, for not one of us wants to carry a cross. But a father knows what his children need, and he knows how best to hinder our wills so that our sinful flesh does not control us, so that we may someday confess with Job, the Lord has given. The Lord has given all that we have, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. This doesn't mean that we can't seek relief from our problems. We are not fatalists. We don't believe in fate. We have a loving and gracious God who is never harsh with us. And so he has given to us medicine for our well-being, food for health, friends for support, family for comfort, and many other blessings. Use them, find comfort and joy in them. They are gifts of God, but do not trust in them. Like the leper, God may use them to heal you and to relieve you from your difficulty. In that case, his will is being done and his name is glorified. But he also may respond to you as he did to Saint Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So we live by faith that God's grace, we live by faith in that grace, that whatever he sends, whatever we endure, God is being glorified. For when we are at our lowest point, when we are at our weakest place, and none of our plans seem to be working out, then we are at our strongest. For we can't trust in our wisdom, our intuition, or our abilities, but we must trust solely in God and his grace. Besides, a time will come when medicine will not help you. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. A time will come when no amount of food, regardless of how healthy and organic it is, will not keep you alive, and friends' support will be useless, and even a family's comfort pointless. And yet on that day, God will perfectly align your will to his, as he tears out of your body, soul, mind, and spirit that sinful flesh which plagued you for all these earthly years. And then, born in the arms of angels, you will be home. So as Saint Paul, boast all the more gladly about your weaknesses, your hardships, your difficulties, your crosses. Yes, daily pray that they be removed from you, but do not view them as evil or as coming from Satan. Satan is not your Lord, Christ is. Satan is not in control of your life, Christ is. And he is always kind and gracious and good to you. You are still clay in his hands, and he is still crafting you in his image and likeness. Do not destroy his work of art. Someday you will be perfect, and you shall see it. The only way that any of this makes sense is at the cross. The only way that we can rejoice in our hardships and see evil as good is at Christ's cross. If Christ had not died, we'd be left wondering why God is so harsh and arbitrary. He would be nothing more than a mean monster who chooses to punish some while leave others in blessing. If Christ had not risen, we'd be left to try to figure out our own way out of this messy life that we have often created for ourselves. But Christ has died, and Christ is risen. And that risen Lord has come to touch you in the waters of holy baptism, to restore your flesh like that of a little child. Your sin is gone. Your guilt is all taken away. And then he comes to you yet again in the Holy Supper to touch your lips with his body and blood. We are not worthy that he would enter the roof of our bodies. We know he can only speak the word and we will be healed. But the Lord does not will to remain apart from you. He desires to make your body his temple. And so he comes in these holy sacraments so that he can dwell in you. And then you will have the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, the eyes of Christ, to see this world not as spinning out of control, but to see it resting in your Father's tender hands. And to see the hardships in your life not as evil, but as somehow, some way for your good and to the glory of his name. Here, in word and sacrament, God reveals his good and gracious will, because here he strengthens you by his Spirit and draws you ever closer to himself, so that you may live by faith, whether through ups or downs, roses or thorns, tragedies or joys, you live by faith in Christ alone. So pray, thy will be done. Not ours, but his. Never ours, but only his. For our will is still too often tied to this world. But our Lord's sight remains perfect. He will do what is best for us. He will give us only for what is our good. And he will use the most tragic experience in your life, death, to give you the greatest joy, eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.